You're listening to The Point. Jacques Pepin is a chef, the author of more than 24 cookbooks, and the host of numerous cooking shows. He and his daughter Claudine will be offering a live cooking demonstration and talk at the Zeitarian Performing Arts Center later this month. He joins us on the phone from his home in Connecticut. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Your parents owned a restaurant in France, so you were introduced to cooking at a young age. How involved were you with the family restaurant?
Well, you know, from age 6, coming back from school, you know, my brother and I would either wash the bottle for wine or peel potato or do something like this. I don't ever think that we ever told our mother we are bored or anything like that, like the kids. So, yeah. And then when I finished primary school, you know, and I was 13, I was a year ahead. So I was 13, so I left home to go into formal apprenticeship, you know, so...
Yeah.
That's a little while ago.
A little while ago, yeah. 13, still kind of a young. So you were apprentice in a kitchen at 13. And how do you think that today's chef training compares to the apprenticeships of your generation?
It's totally different. I mean, now it would be child labor, you know, to make a kid work. But I wasn't special. It was the way it was. And without any question, we worked 7 days a week, no day off. And at the end of the month, I had 4 days, as it's supposed to be 4 weeks in each month. There is more, but so I could take the bus and bring my mother my hat and jacket, pants, the sheet of my bed, everything for her to wash and bring back, you know, and we were not paid. But that's the way it was. And we learned through a type of osmosis, you know, the chef never tell you anything. He tell you, do this. And if you had said why, you would have said, because I just told you. I was about the end. And after, we were not allowed to go to the stove until a year. So for a year, I scaled fish and plucked chicken and so forth. And a year later, the chef said, you start at the stove tomorrow. And I didn't think that I would know how to do it, but I can't, through a type of osmosis, you learn.
Yeah.
All those years, the idea was really to conform in the kitchen. So even when I work at the Plaza Athénée, or big place in Paris in the 50s, like at the Plaza, we did a great lobster souffle. They still do. And we were 48 chefs in the kitchen. I'm sure 48 chefs could have done that lobster souffle. You would not have known who had done it.
Wow.
That was the whole idea, to conform. So it was kind of a secure place, maybe more than now. The young chef has to perform And he said, make sure they know that I am the one who did it. I want to sign that dish and all that. So it's quite a different quite a different thing. You know?
And cooking is sort of a combination of technique, knowledge, and creativity. So do you think all three should be part of a chef's training? And if so, how do you teach creativity?
Well, you don't teach creativity, you know, and that's the whole point. You teach technique. Mm-hmm. For me, you have to be a good technician first, you know. A chef without technique is like a writer without the knowledge of grammar, you know, so it's kind of an impossible struggle. So you learn the technique, and a young chef should work with good chef, possibly, and just absorb. And you say, yes, chef, and you try to see the food through the eye and through the sense of taste of that chef. Whether you agree with it or not doesn't really matter. And you do that with 2 or 3 or 4 chefs in a row for like 6, 8, 10 years, and you have absorbed an enormous amount of material. By then, it is the time to give it back, and by then you start filtering it through your sense of taste, your sense of aesthetic, but not at the beginning. You know, so the creativity came later.
Yeah,
I think.
How has the American food scene changed since you first came to this country?
This is an impossible question. Oh, boy. You know, when I came to America, I live on 50th and 1st Avenue, and there was that, I forget the name of the market, something Brothers Market, so a supermarket, one of my first supermarkets. I've never seen one in France, and that was 1959. So, you know, you go there, and there was only one salad that was iceberg. There was no shallot, no leek, no oriental vegetable,
yeah.
You know, no type of olive oil and so forth.
No mushrooms.
One salad, no parsley, no mushrooms. Yeah. Yeah, so now, I mean, the supermarkets have never been as beautiful as they are today. So it's another world altogether.
Yeah. Americans today are cooking less at home and eating out more. What do you think people are missing when they're not preparing their own meals?
Well, they're missing on the family. I mean, there is no place like the kitchen to get together and be, especially with the kid, you know. It's not necessarily pleasant. Each time, I mean, through all of middle school and high school and prior to that, including our daughter sit an hour every night or an hour and a half every night for dinner, and sometimes you have the discussion of the day, and sometimes it's pleasant, sometimes it's less pleasant. But I absolutely feel that it's necessary in a family to do that type of bonding around the table, you know, mm-hmm. which is not a restaurant.
So, and how young was Claudine when she started cooking with you in the kitchen or thought she was cooking with you?
Well, I remember holding her in my arm when she was a year old, a year and a half old, and make her stir the pot. Because if she could stir the pot, then she, quote, made it.
Yeah.
She had made it, so she was going to test it. I said, "Wow, you made it with me." And so, you know, that type of involvement you have to have with the kid.
Yeah. You know what else I find is when you're chopping the vegetables and they're sitting there by the counter with you, they're eating all those raw vegetables. And then when they don't want their vegetables at dinner, it's okay because they've already eaten them.
Yeah, right. That's true. Yeah.
So what are your thoughts about how there's a lot of these new services that ship fresh food and recipes for people to cook at home? Do you think this is a good way for busy people to prepare meals at home and for someone with minimal cooking experience to get started?
Yes, I think it's a good idea. It's probably expensive. I mean, I did 2 series on television. I mean, I did 13 series of 26 shows in the last 30-some years, but I did 2 series called Fast Food My Way. And in those series, I often came with a package from the supermarket. And within 30 minutes, well, like 28 minutes or so, I would do 3 or 4 dishes. You know, so it is possible because what I did there, I used the supermarket the way we use a prep cook. Mm-hmm. See, you have a prep cook in the kitchen who bone out the chicken, bone out the fish, slice the mushroom, chop the shallots, wash the spinach. Everything is ready for you. When you come to the stove and someone order a piece of fish, you grab it, it's there, the shallots are there, you poached it, a bit of white wine, you finish it, it takes you 5-6 minutes because you have the mise en place, you know, the preparation, the prep cook. So there you can use the supermarket the same way. I mean, supermarket now, you can use the boneless, skinless breast of chicken. You have a non-stick pan. You buy pre-washed spinach, pre-sliced mushroom, and which is what I did in those series. So with a minimal amount of effort, you could do those dishes, probably less expensive than ordering them, and you can choose them in addition. Mm.
You spent a number of years cooking on camera with Julia Child. Can you share a highlight or two of your time with Julia?
Well, Julia was on television the way she was at home. You know, I met her in 1960, so it's a long, long time. We became friends for half a century. And the point is, in those shows, we had no recipe, and no time frame, you know, which is what you have. Usually you have to cook on time on television or not to go too much of a time. There we went like sometime, you know, over an hour for a show of 28 minutes. And we had no recipe, so it was a bit hard for the cameraman because they really didn't know exactly what we were going to do because we didn't really know ourselves, but we knew we would do like a stew or whatever we decided that before, but no actual recipe. In fact, when we finished that series, we did, it took like 2 years at least, even more maybe, to come on the air because the publisher had to look at those shows, you know, ad nauseam to extrapolate the recipe and create a book, you know, which was kind of a reversal because when you do a series, theoretically, you come at least with the manuscript of the book to get an idea of the recipe.
You know? Right. So you were having as much fun as you looked like you were. It looked like you guys were having a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun, actually, yes. Yeah. It was an easy show to do.
Yeah. Cooking is an art, but it's also a craft, as we're talking about technique a few minutes ago, and something that improves with experience. So for someone with minimal cooking experience but who wants to improve, what do you suggest are some maybe simple ways to get started?
Well, you know, some people say, well, I don't cook, but I would like to. And I say, well, do you have any friend who cook? And everyone has a friend who cooks. So I say, next time you go to that person, say, can I come an hour ahead and give you a hand in the kitchen and bring a bottle of wine and open a bottle of wine, have 1 glass, 2 glass, maybe 3, and by the time the chicken come maybe a bit burnt out of the oven. I mean, who cares anyway? So, yes, you got to get involved with someone who cooks. Or with a friend who you can go and look at and talk food and do things, you know, that you do halfway. As I say, with the supermarket, like, for example, I'm doing things now with my granddaughter, and we're going to do a bunch of shows this summer, and we're doing a book called The Lesson of a Grandfather. And, you know, I mean, I'll show her how to get to the supermarket. I said, okay, they just have the roast chicken finished. Let's buy a roast chicken. Mm-hmm. And then we buy a beautiful Boston lettuce, and we spread it on the table, on a tray. We cut the chicken. We put it on side. I saute some shallot, some garlic, a bit of the juice of the chicken, some olive oil, and we pour that on top of the salad and the chicken. And all of a sudden, you know, you didn't roast the chicken, but you created a dish in a sense. So there is a way of cooking like that where you use it, again, the supermarket, you know. Mm.
Cooking and cooking competition shows have taken off in the U.S. over the past few years. Do you have any insight why this appeals so much to Americans?
I have no idea. You know, someone told me a while ago, I was somewhere, there was a food historian, a lady who said that there is 405 cookery shows on television. But I don't know whether it's accurate, but it's maybe 350. But yeah, I you know, I've been on Top Chef, I've been on all those shows as a judge. And this is not what I like to do, frankly, the best. I don't like to criticize, to, you know, so reality show, this for me, it's not really reality. It doesn't really happen in a regular kitchen, in a good kitchen. If you go in the kitchen of, I don't know, Thomas Keller or Daniel Boulud in New York or whatever, well, there is no noise. You know, you go there, and it's like a ballet, and the chef is ordering, and pick up table 7, to it's like a ballet. It's beautiful to look at. Of course, the television comes, they say, that thing is really boring. There is no excitement, no one yelling at one another. But this is the reality thing.
Yeah.
So what you see on television there is, doesn't really work.
Although I have to say, the one that has the little kids cooking, the shows with little kids, I am blown away at what some of these little kids are capable of producing. Sometimes something they've never even tasted before. It's just amazing to watch these kids.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, you give the kid, and the kid have no complex that, you know, I mean, certainly my granddaughter, you know, I mean, people will cook that. I'm supposedly a great chef. You know, people will say they are not going to criticize. The kid has no problem. They say, yeah, it's disgusting. I don't want to eat that.
Jacques Pepin and his daughter, Claudine, will be at the Zeiterion Theater on Saturday, May 20th for a cooking demonstration and talk. We'll have more details at our website, capeandislands.org. Jacques Pepin, thanks so much for joining us. It was fun talking with you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'll see you there. Bye-bye.